Weekend Breakfast with Refilo Mpakanyane
on 702.
Time now to chat to our resident GP. He's the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. His name, of course, is Dr. Fundile Nyathi. We touch base with him after 6:30 every Saturday morning. And today we're looking at the fact that the season to be merry is right here on our doorstep. And when it comes to indulgence in food and substances, which might be harmful to one's health, we know all about it, don't we? So for many, this is the perfect time to drink without feeling an ounce of guilt or worrying about being hungover at the office the following day. But according to reports, the per capita consumption of alcohol in South Africa is 11 litres, and this is considered the highest in Africa, the highest on the continent. So for more on festive season alcohol binging and abuse, I'm joined by Dr. Fundile Nyathi. Good morning, Doc. Thanks so much for your time, as per usual.
Good morning, Refilo, and good morning to the listeners.
Yeah, an absolute pleasure to have you on, Dr. Fundile Nyathi. We call it the festive season. We call it the silly season. We think of it as a time to indulge. Some among us, as that phrase that former President Thabo Mbeki liked to use, perhaps to include himself or preclude himself and set himself apart. But some among us might be worried about a possible alcohol booze ban. Not that government has indicated anything to, you know, in that regard. But we're in the fourth wave now. Some among us may be worried that, listen, someone's going to turn the taps off. But talk to us about where we find ourselves in on the continent when it comes to how much we drink per capita.
Well, you know, when we look at globally first, we're somewhere around number 17, you know, globally in terms of the nations, you know, with the highest consumption of alcohol. But in the continent, we definitely in the top five there. You know, sometimes we're number one, sometimes we're number three, but we're definitely in the top five of the nations of this continent in terms of alcohol consumption. And what is much more worrying, though, is really the pattern of how we consume alcohol in this country. We typically consume alcohol, you know, through what we call binge drinking, you know, which is slightly different. I mean, it's different from people who just drink, you know, over a period of time, you know, every day or stuff like that. Here, you've got occasional drinking, you know, but when people do then drink, they go heavy. You know, and that is the problem. And so at this time of the year, which is what we call the silly season or the festive season, when people have got bonuses, those who are lucky enough to get bonuses, one thing that's top of their minds is, I need to, you know, drink. I need to have access to drink. And with the threat of the fourth wave, you know, and the restrictions that may come with it, others are thinking about stocking up. But at the end of the day, it's about binge drinking.
Sure.
So that is something that we really are worried about, because it is something that is actually a problem. Maybe just to define what that is, binge drinking is when a person consumes enough alcoholic beverages during a two-hour period to bring their blood alcohol concentration to 0.08 or more. So we measure it in a two-hour period, and that's generally about four drinks for women and five drinks for men. And what I've seen in some of these social events is that by the time people hit 2 hours, they have downed, you know, between 7 to 10 drinks, you know, in a two-hour period. So that's when it really becomes a problem.
Yeah. Dr. Nyathi, obviously we're having this conversation in and looking at the implications of binge drinking for the individual, but there's a larger society, a societal effect as well that we're going to go into. So for the individual who is binge drinking or who does binge drink, just lay out, you know, the effects of that on the body, and we'll go into the larger societal impact as well.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. You know, there are what we call, you know, short-term effects of, you know, being shrinking, right? You consume alcohol, it gets to your stomach, and then, you know, to your intestines, it gets absorbed, and then it goes to the liver. So 90% of what we consume goes to the liver, where it is processed, and then, you know, and then it's excreted. But about 10% of it may be processed through the, you know, the kidneys, and also through the sweat, and also through, you know, breathing.
Yeah.
So the challenge then, you know, is that that rapid increase in the percentage of alcohol in your blood, you know, may initially cause you headaches, may cause nausea and vomiting, you know, may upset one stomach, you know, leading to, again, that nausea and vomiting, or even cause diarrhea. Mm. Alcohol poisoning, which may be fatal in certain instances. And generally, you know, there's lack of coordination and perception, which becomes a problem in terms of drinking and driving. There's impaired judgment, which may increase, you know, the chance of risky behaviors, injuries, and violence. So those are just all of the things. And with regards to the nausea and vomiting, there's something that we call a gag reflex, you know, which is normally suppressed, you know, when you are intoxicated. And that may actually lead to you, you know, having what we call, you know, problems with aspiration. So some of the vomiters may actually go into your respiratory system, and may cause a pneumonia and other serious issues. So there's a lot of problems, really, you know, relating to drinking. But there's also long-term effects because, you know, people who binge drink, you know, regularly, then it may affect their immune system, weakening it. It may cause liver damage, causing cirrhosis and hepatitis. You may have heart-related problems like blood pressure, heart disease, you know, abnormal rhythm of the of the heart. Mm. You may have other cancers as well, you know, like mouth, throat, esophagus, breast, liver, and colon cancers. And again, mental health problems. And this is where it becomes a chicken and egg, because sometimes people with mental health problems, they use alcohol to escape. You know, and then, but alcohol itself, you know, the binging can also lead to depression and anxiety problems, and the other social problems that you said you'll talk about, you know, unemployment, family issues, lead to GBV and all of those kind of problems. So yeah, both short and long term effects of, you know, alcohol binging are a problem.
Yeah. So now that you've given us the laundry list, what a list of the downside of drinking alcohol, you know, just for that person who's listening and all these, what you've outlined so far sound familiar, are familiar, but they're also thinking to themselves, but hang on, this is what we do. I'm young, or maybe I've been drinking like this all my life. It's just part of the fun. It's just what happens on a night out.
Yeah.
Just unpack for us, you know, what party culture dictates versus what, you know, the specter of alcohol dependency or alcoholism, as we also call it.
Okay. You know, when you have one or two drinks, you know, or, you know, occasionally, that's not really a problem. In fact, at the early stages, with that one or two drinks, alcohol can actually be a stimulant in that it leads to you producing happy hormones or endorphins, which can help you to relax. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a problem. The problem comes when you now start going above, you know, that legal limit in terms of your blood alcohol concentration, because then at that point it becomes a depressant. You know, which then slows down basically most of your bodily functions, you know, slow down your brain, so sluggish in terms of thinking, you know, in, you know, your ability, your speech becomes affected, and then also, you know, coordination in terms of the muscles. So in the party culture then, especially at this time, you know, you will have people drinking, And then there will be, sometimes people compete about how many classes that they've taken.
Sure.
So there's a lot of things that happen there. Again, in the context of South Africa, where there's a lot of GBV problems, there's also the problem of spiking of drugs, of drinks. So you go to the small room, you come back, your drink was unattended, and somebody has put a dead drug, in that drink. So there's a lot of dangers that really come with that. So at this time of the year, this is when people are just in that relaxed mode, and they're not counting the number of drinks they are having, and the shooters that normally come also, your younger masters and other things, that come in over and above the drinks that have been consumed. So by the time people leave that party scene or that, work function, end of the year work function, they are so much out of control, and that becomes a problem. Mm. So that is really more around the binge drinking. But I think the bigger problem is when the binge drinking is much more frequent and it leads to dependency. And this is more on the medium to long term, where there's dependence. Because again, over time, if you give your body alcohol regularly, then the body gets used to the alcohol, and your body can't do without alcohol at that point. It demands you to have alcohol. So we say you've got alcohol dependence, but that's like an old term in the medical space. Mm-hmm. We now talk of alcohol use disorder. At the early stages, you have control, but in the more severe form of alcohol use disorder, you have no control in terms of your intake. It is the body that controls you, and that is becoming and that becomes a problem. What we used to call alcoholism. And with that, then you have to drink regularly every day. If you don't give your body alcohol at a mental, emotional level, then you are not okay until you get that alcohol. And when you are at that stage, then it leads to a lot of other, socioeconomic and other health problems. Which may then affect your family, may affect your ability to work, may even lead to you losing your job.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. That's where you then really need professional help. And through your treating doctor, you can then be channeled to the right, places for what we call medical assisted detoxification. Because when you do it on your own, you think you're going to stop on your own, it normally does not work, because it may lead to more dangers than good when you do that. So that is the problem, in the spectrum of alcohol use, from mild occasional drinking, which may include the occasional binging, to actually a point where your body is dependent, and you may need professional assistance to deal with that.
Mm. So, Dr. Nyathi, yesterday was the end of that 16 Days of Activism for No Violence Against Women and Children campaign.
Yes.
Every year from the 25th of November until the 10th of December, at least this year from the 25th until the 10th of December. Talk to us about why we find ourselves having conversations around gender-based violence and linking them to alcohol, and why, for instance, you see alcohol distributors and manufacturers launching campaigns to promote responsible drinking or promote responsible drinking in tandem with opening up spaces to talk about gender-based violence. The link between the two in our country specifically, what is happening there? Because plenty of people might argue, yeah, well, I drink, but I don't become violent when I've had alcohol. So what's going on in South Africa that these two conversations tend to be linked so tightly?
Well, I mean, one of the challenges or the effects of alcohol consumption, especially when you've gone beyond that legal percentage of 0.08%, is that you tend to have impaired judgment. Right. Mm-hmm. You tend to have impaired judgment, and so part of that, then people tend to do things you know, that may actually be, you know, illegal. You know, people tend to then get involved in unnecessary fights. And you know, so what we see in South Africa is that we've got a high level of rape in this country, and the one of the issues there is that people sometimes they tend to commit these whilst under the influence of alcohol. So that's where the connection is. But also with the issue of domestic violence, which is again a big problem in our country. So the connection, as we are ending the 15, you know, the 16 days of no violence against women and children. In fact, it should just be a campaign of the whole year round, because we consume alcohol the whole year round, and these down, you know, these issues of people committing acts of violence against their females and children, they happen all year round, which is why the conversation between alcohol binging and these social ills of GBV and domestic violence, they have to continue to be spoken about, because it is a big problem.
Sure, Dr. Nyati. You know, alcohol, drinking alcohol or overindulging in alcohol during this period, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, the risks, first of all, of COVID-19 infection, and, you know, the conversations that were had earlier on, or the reasoning behind alcohol bans at various levels of previous lockdowns that we had. You know, give us a sense, or remind us again what the general concern is. Is the worry, are we still worried about hospital beds and running out of beds because we're putting people on ventilators? Or has a conversation around COVID-19 and freeing up beds and trauma units, has that changed and shifted to the fact that when people have been consuming or overindulging in alcohol, that risky behavior, as you called it, or the loss of perception, it leads to people, you know, letting down their guard, as it were, and a higher risk of COVID-19 infections?
Yeah, well, I think let's talk about two things there. The reason that, you know, we've been talking about alcohol ever since this pandemic started in South Africa, is that obviously with the, you know, the number of waves that we've had, in each wave you've got more people being admitted to hospital to be managed, because many of them needed to be under the care of medical professionals because they needed oxygen, and others went into high care or ICU. So obviously we have a limitation in terms of the number of beds in the country, whether we're talking private sector or public sector. So the thinking was, if one then reduces the intake of alcohol by limiting access to alcohol, then the upside of that is that there will be fewer people who reach hospital because of trauma that is alcohol fueled, and therefore those beds would be made available to accommodate people who have got a COVID-19 problems. So it was a problem for all the 3 weeks. I mean, I still have a picture in my head of Chris Rani, Baragwanath Hospital, on the 31st of December last year. Mm. For the first time, the trauma unit there was actually, you know, having a breeze. There were no people who were coming in with gunshot wounds or stab wounds or motor vehicle accidents. So there is definitely an association there. But then, obviously, the alcohol lobby is also quite strong, and it's a very important part of our economy as well.
Yeah.
So we needed to balance things between saving lives and also the alcohol, you know, the economy. So that's one side. But on the other hand, at an individual level, people, when they have taken alcohol, they tend to, you know, not practice these non-pharmaceutical measures. We talk about, you know, social distancing, masking up, and all of those things, which are proven measures to reduce the spread from one person to the other. And so it is still a problem, because then, you know, when people are having fun, intoxicated, then the risk of them getting infected. Now we're talking the Omicron, you know, variant, which is now found to be almost three times more, you know, infectious than the previous Delta variant. So the chances of getting infected in such situations, especially in spaces that are not well ventilated, are very high. And so it is still important for us then to talk about this issue of binging, you know, people not practicing non-pharmaceutical measures and therefore increasing their risk of being infected. It's still very relevant now. What is coming out, though, in terms of the hospitals is that for some reason, this variant tends not to be as the severity of the illnesses in terms of people getting to hospital for admission, for oxygen and all of that. The early information is showing that there's less severe kind of COVID-19. But in spite of all of that, I still think we need to continue to talk to people and say, yes, maybe the early, you know, info is showing less severe kind of diseases. Those who are hospitalized with COVID, but the problems are maybe other comorbid problems that they have rather than the oxygen dependency that they normally suffer from. But it's still early days, and we need to still, you know, take caution and make sure that those beds are made available, you know, for people. So I wouldn't be surprised then that when we have a family meeting, there will be, you know, a reduction in terms of access to alcohol as we go towards the big days.
All right, Dr. Fundi Lenyati, thanks so much. We're going to have to leave it right there.